Next up is Bread and Butter, a culinary chronicle with Lael Gilbert.
For a recent anniversary, my husband and I headed to one of our favorite eating spots in Cache Valley. The Elements restaurant has all the fundamentals to make an evening on the town really special for folks like us. Waiters who bring you stuff, someone to do the dishes, and a complete lack of children using breadsticks as lightsabers. You can see why we like this place. They also have a menu heavy on animal-based proteins. For my husband, that's something of an imperative. We were served two excellent entrees, a New York steak with a balsamic reduction, and a beautiful roasted tenderloin that had a chocolate brown crust on the outside, the inside tender enough to cut with the side of your fork. They were both delicious, beefy and savory, with all the warm satisfaction that biting through a velvety mouthful of meat can give you on a cold winter's day. I began to wonder, how exactly do they get meat to be this tender? I had some free time after dinner, since I wasn't doing dishes, and decided to do some research. The answer to tender meat, it turns out, is to either cook it for a long, long time, or not to cook it for very long. Confused? I was too. It comes down to this. All meat, be it beef, pork, lamb, or chicken, consists of muscle, connective tissue, and fat. Most of what you see when you look at a slab of meat is the soft, dense muscle. Connective tissue is the broad term for the stuff that holds the muscle together. Cuts of meat are inherently tough or tender. A chef's job is to know which and to choose her cooking method accordingly. My husband's New York steak, also called a strip steak, was a tender cut. It's a lesser used muscle with little connective tissue. All it needed in the kitchen was to be heated long enough to be safe to eat and to develop a bit of flavor on the outside. T-bone steak, porterhouse steak, and tri-tip are examples of tender cuts. The more you cook muscle, the more the proteins get tough and dry out. But here comes the paradox. The longer you cook connective tissue, the more it softens and becomes edible. The muscle part of meat tends to have the best texture between 120 degrees and 160 degrees Fahrenheit. But the connective tissue doesn't even start to soften until 160, and it needs to reach 200 to completely break down. If you have a tough cut of meat, one that has a lot of connective tissue, the trick is to break down the ligaments, tendons, and collagen membranes without heating the muscle into jerky. Chuck, brisket, and rump are cuts of beef with more connective tissue and a tougher texture, but these cuts also have a lot of flavor. The best method to make them tender and to bring out the flavor is to start by browning the meat and then roasting or braising it over a low temperature for a long time. This is what made my roasted tenderloin so tasty. Contrary to popular opinion, browning or searing doesn't seal in meat's juices. It does, however, help it to develop a deep and complex flavor as sugars and proteins react under high temperatures. When cooked low and slow, connective tissue dissolves into gelatin, which allows the meat fibers to separate. Fat melts and helps the meat be succulent, tender, and moist. But to keep the muscle tender and still kill the microorganisms, you have to maintain an important balance. A simmer between 180 and 190 is ideal. So to recap, if you have a tender piece of meat, cook it on high heat for a short time. If you have a tough piece of meat, brown the outside for flavor, then cook it for a long time at a low temperature, but not too long. If that isn't clear, stop by your favorite restaurant and let an expert do the job and the dishes. This is Lael Gilbert for Bread and Butter.